Brother Greg Palmer is a member of the religion faculty here at BYU Idaho. Brother Palmer has served the church in many capacities, including as a missionary in the Mexico Hermosilla Mission, president of the Young Men's, advisor of the Deacons Quorum, a teacher, bishop, president of the Spanish branch, and currently serves as the president of the Madison Young Single Adult branch. Brother Palmer is a graduate of Ricks College and BYU in Provo. Following graduation, he taught seminary for 3 years, worked in marketing, and served as a fundraiser for the LDS Church. Brother Palmer also directed a program in Mexico, which provided employable skills to returned missionaries. Brother Palmer and his wife Tamara have 3 children, and they're expecting their first grandchild in April.
That was angelic. Thank you for that sharing of your talents. You've blessed all of us today. Thank you very, very much. I think my students out there think they know what I'm going to talk about, but I'm not. But I might mention how great it is to be gathered, that you are a wonderful sight to come together. I go back decades to this place, where great young people have gathered, where my life has been blessed because I have taken time and had the commitment to come to devotional. I'm grateful to be with you, to share with you today. It's been wonderful to be with you. It's great to be with my family. I'll confess, I miss my usual spot in the Taylor. I miss my soft seat in the Taylor building today. Thinking about my friends in the Taylor, the frightening sight that it might be to have my head 20 feet tall that they're looking at right now, like something out of the Wizard of Oz or something. I'll pray that that won't be a distraction. I'm grateful for that wonderful music. My prayer has been that this will be for your edification and to the glory of God. I would invite and even plead for the Spirit to be with us, that will accomplish what we should accomplish here today. Today I'd like to share some thoughts about gifts. I'm a little sensitive about the topic. My eldest son, Joseph, was born on my birthday, and is the best birthday gift I ever received. But for about the last 22 years, appropriately, my birthday has been lost in his birthday. My wonderful daughter on the stand, Lauren, was born on June 21st, which is often Father's Day, so I get a little neglected frequently on Father's Day as well. I'm not complaining. I just have a heightened sensitivity regarding gifts. The sensitivity about gifts could be traced to my childhood and to having a very gifted little brother, Gary. I remember watching his room fill up with trophies. As they stacked up on his shelf, I wondered, what is my gift? And now my colleagues are smarter than I am. I can't sing or play the piano. My stab at acting resulted in the unfortunate Taming of the Shrew incident in a theater class on this campus. I played Petruchio to a Kate who was larger than me. This is Shakespeare, so there were tights involved. And a slippery floor. I'm not going to say anything more about that. After these years of searching, I think I've found it. My gift. If we were in a different setting, I would demonstrate it for you. What is it? Clapping. I can clap really loud. At Guitars Unplugged, or that concert or play, or the baseball game, that was me you heard. You might not think that's much of a gift, but think what that means to you, talented students. You've worked hard to develop your athletic or musical talents. That's where I come in. I can show my appreciation for those gifts. Where would you be without me? That's how gifts work together, this great interplay by design. I will speak of gifts, first of spiritual gifts as laid out in the scriptures, then of inherent gifts we seem to be sent to earth with. I'll address some particular gifts in this audience we have been given, then conclude with the most important of gifts, speaking of spiritual gifts. The subject of spiritual gifts is so fundamental that it is, as it were, written in our hearts. You remember Article of Faith, number 7. Maybe let's do that together. Could we do that? Now lean over to your neighbor, and that neighbor will remind you which one Article of Faith 7 is. It's the gift one. Are you ready? We believe in the gift of tongues, prophecy, revelation, visions, healings, interpretation of tongues, and so forth. Thank you. That was, your primary teachers would just be proud. That was wonderful. True to the faith refers to spiritual gifts as blessings or abilities that are given by the Holy Ghost. As we lay this foundation, speaking of spiritual gifts, I will just let the word speak for itself, but invite you to think about those settings in your experience, in your wards and families, where you've seen these gifts manifest and how they have blessed your life. As you reflect on your experience, I believe you'll sense a tender witness of the truthfulness of the restoration of the gospel, as you note how readily these gifts are available in the Latter-day Kingdom. Paul enumerates some of these gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. I heard Elder Bednar from this pulpit say, the best sound in the whole world is the sounding of scripture pages turning. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Understanding the passages will take some pondering, which I encourage you to do. And again, think how these gifts have helped in your apartments, your classes, your study groups, on your missions, and now also in your marriages and families. Paul continues in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. I love Paul's analogy of a body. An eye is very different from a hand, but both have an essential function and all work together and are meant to work together. We come from different backgrounds, even different nations, with different temperaments, attitudes, and gifts. And there's a reason for that. We are meant to work together, to help each other, to complete each other. We need one another's gifts. Thanks to someone's musical gifts, we can sing together. Some of you have been placed in apartments where you could see great examples of patience. Some of you have been placed in apartments to develop the gift of patience. It occurs to me some of you might be in apartments to help others develop the gift of patience. Some of you have teaching gifts. Some of you are very organized. Some of you know how to paint and draw. And some of you have the great gift of ready smiles. Together, we become a whole. The Doctrine and Covenants in section 46. Verses 8 through 14 illuminates and adds to Paul's list of spiritual gifts. Wherefore, beware lest you're deceived, and that you may not be deceived, seek earnestly the best gifts, always remembering for what they are given. For verily I say unto you, they are given for the benefit of those who love me and keep all my commandments, and him that seeketh so to do, that all may be benefited that seek or that ask of me, that ask and not for a sign, that they may consume it upon their lusts. And again, verily I say unto you, I would that you should always remember and always retain in your minds what those gifts are that are given unto the church. For all have not every gift given unto them for their many gifts. And every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. To some is given one, and to some is given another, that all may be profited thereby. To some it is given by the Holy Ghost to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he was crucified for the sins of the world. To others it is given to believe on their words, that they might also have eternal life if they continue faithful. You have seen blessings in your life from those gifts. Some of you have been given the gift of powerful spiritual witnesses. Some of you have had the gift to always believe. For Moroni's great witness of spiritual gifts, in Moroni 10, he reminds us in verse 18, and I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. These are gifts to be treasured. Summarizing the points that I believe we should be drawn to are, first, These gifts, as all good gifts, come from a loving God. Second, these gifts are to help us bless and lift and build one another and the kingdom of God. We have different gifts for a reason. They are to be woven together, making us depend on, learn, and benefit from, and just think about one another. Fourth, different gifts may be given to us during different seasons as they are needed. For example, bishops will attest to an added measure of the gift of discernment, which you know your mothers also enjoy, even if you didn't always enjoy it. Please note the Doctrine and Covenants admonition to seek earnestly the best gifts. And to add apostolic admonition to that, Elder Oaks has taught, quote, "The Scriptures tell us that we should desire and zealously seek spiritual gifts," close quote. Elder Robert D. Hales counsels, quote, "To find the gifts we have been given, we must pray and fast. Often, patriarchal blessings tell us the gifts we have received and declare the promise of gifts we can receive if we seek after them. I urge you to discover your gifts and to seek after those that will bring direction to your life's work and that will further the work of heaven," close quote. Noting the importance of spiritual gifts and that counsel, please pay attention to the responsibility to seek gifts. Sometimes those gifts may be brought out in very natural ways. Sometimes there must be seeking. Elder Marvin J. Ashton taught about less conspicuous gifts. He teaches of, quote, "The gift of asking, the gift of listening, the gift of hearing and using a still small voice, the gift of being able to weep, the gift of avoiding contention, the gift of being agreeable, the gift of avoiding vain repetition, the gift of seeking that which is righteous, the gift of not passing judgment, the gift of looking to God for guidance, the gift of being a disciple, the gift of caring for others, the gift of being able to ponder, the gift of offering prayer, the gift of bearing a mighty testimony, and the gift of receiving the Holy Ghost," close quote. Elder Ashton emphasized, quote, "We must remember that to every man is given a gift by the Spirit of God. It is our right and our responsibility to accept our gifts and to share them. God's gifts and powers are available to all of us." I know you listen to Moroni, and he counsels in Moroni 10, verse 8, to deny not the gifts of God. Some might deny that such gifts even exist, but we who want to be faithful could deny if we don't acknowledge and appreciate what might be less conspicuous, less obvious, maybe less appreciated expressions of those gifts. Some examples. Think of the gift of knowing when someone needs a boost. I believe that's an expression of the gift of discernment, and I've seen you invoking that gift, staying after class to talk when you sense something was wrong with someone, even someone you didn't know very well. That gift is invoked by doing some kindness for a discouraged roommate, by stopping and talking to someone when you said, "How are you doing?" and you knew he or she wasn't really fine, even though he or she said so, and you could have kept on walking. Some have the gift of being a friend, of being selfless and thoughtful and lifting those around them. Speaking of the most treasured of spiritual gifts, of charity, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5, says, "It seeketh not her own." That certainly means that someone with the gift of charity isn't always looking out for himself or herself, isn't overly concerned with his or own self-interest. But I learned something of charity from someone with such a gift of friendship. I would just draw your attention to what I'm about to say. Just concern for your time, wanting my students to be back in class on time after devotional. I thought to not include what I'm about to share with you, but there was that impression that someone will need the story that I'm about to tell you. So please pay attention to this. After graduate school, we moved to Southern California. We moved in on a Saturday. A call came on Sunday. And on Monday, I was surprised to find myself the new early morning seminary teacher facing a group of 30 high school juniors and seniors. They were delightful. I'm serious. As I got to know them, I particularly noticed one young man. Everyone wanted to be around him. It was interesting that there was nothing superficially exceptional about him. He didn't have a great car, was not a big athlete. So I observed and I learned. For example, when most of us go into a fireside, who do we look for? I think we would agree for our friends, for those with whom we're most comfortable. But not my friend Sean. Though everyone was saving him a seat, Schaller looked for the person who was alone, who needed to have someone to sit by. He was not seeking out his own buddies, not seeking out his own. When you walk into a dance, who do you look for? You'll have to answer that one for yourselves, but I suspect some of you might have been thinking of physical descriptions of people in the room. My friend Sean was looking for whoever might feel a little lonely or awkward. Sean's goal was to see that everyone had a good time. He wasn't seeking his own pleasure or gratification. He wasn't seeking his own. And I can tell you, his gift had a significant effect on the love and the unity of our stake, and a richness came into his life. Speaking of those less appreciated gifts, how about the gift of enjoying every day, even in Rexburg? I believe President Clark has that gift, especially today, I suppose. Even in late February or March, Stephen Covey calls that taking our own weather with us. There's a gift to appreciate, quote, the day the Lord hath made to rejoice in it. That's from Psalm 118, verse 24. Sister Palmer and I have a dear friend who had a calling many of you may have had. She was her ward activities chair. In her ward were Gordon B. Hinckley, James E. Faust, other general authorities, and various and sundry general board members. She was horrified at one of her first activities when it was unseasonably warm, so the ice melted, the drinks were warm. This was an LDS activity, so the jello melted as well. Everything seemed to go wrong. For a later activity on the 24th of July, she vowed everything would be perfect. Plenty of ice for the soft and drinks and cold cuts for an event at Pioneer State Park, where Presidents Hinckley and Faust would be in attendance. This day was unseasonably cold. There were Presidents Hinckley and Faust and their wives shivering in a rainstorm for an event held under the Bowery, a replica of a crude stick shelter. She was grateful, she told us this, that the rain hid her tears. Then came the opening prayer. It was offered by the widow of Elder Marvin J. Ashton, Sister Norma Ashton. In her prayer, she said something like, "And Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day when we can be reminded of the hardships of our pioneers." My friend said the whole spirit of the event changed, and that even dripping in the rain, their hearts were warmed. During the dedication of the Thomas E. Ricks Building, Elder David A. Bednar enumerated and illuminated what he called, quote, some additional gifts that are especially characteristic of this campus in Rexburg, Idaho. The gift of smiling, the gift of learning without becoming arrogant, the gift of cheerfulness, the gift of academic integrity. If we could discuss those a little further. The gift of smiling at everyone, not just at that cute boy or girl. When employed by LDS Philanthropies, I met a lady in Salt Lake City whom we invited to serve on a volunteer board to help us in our efforts to raise money for the campus, for you. She had made up her mind she was just too busy and involved in too many other worthy causes. She drove up from Salt Lake City just to tell me no, rehearsing what she would say during the entire trip. She parked her car and had just a short walk to my office, but something happened before she made her way to me. You happened. Students just like you smiled and said hello to a stranger, as she described herself, some little old lady. She felt the spirit of the students, the spirit of the campus, and became a great friend, instrumental in raising significant money to help you in your educations. The gift of learning without becoming arrogant, even when you got the best grade in the class. This will be especially important at BYU Idaho's season of innovation, as the Lord has been so good to us and blessed us with excellent facilities, inspired leadership, this amazing faculty, the learning model, so much. Please remember where these things came from. These are from the humble tithe payers of the church. This army of returned missionaries scattered throughout the congregation can tell you something of those humble tithe payers, people who will never set foot on or near this campus, people with so much less than you as poor college students have. Why would they do that? Why would they pay when they have so little? They pay because they have testimonies and love God. How could we possibly be arrogant when we owe such a debt to a worldwide church? As a matter of fact, it will be your lifelong homework to figure out how to repay them and your Father in heaven for this experience. The gift of cheerfulness, even in February and especially in Rexburg. The gift of academic integrity, even when the teacher has you self-report or grade yourself. The Savior appreciated those less conspicuous gifts and gave us a physical example we will always remember and treasure from Luke 21. Verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all that she had. That's the mathematics of heaven, where our tiny, unremarkable, but wholehearted gifts of whatever our talents and gift might be become treasures to God, therefore in heaven. Speak now of inherent gifts, those gifts that we just seem to come to earth with. I've noted that some people just come to earth particularly gifted. President Joseph Fielding Smith addressed that, quote, "The spirits of men were created with different dispositions and likes and talents. We evidently brought to this world some, if not all, the inclinations and talents that we had there. It is my judgment that thousands were chosen for their special fields because they showed talents and dispositions in the spirit world. Some of you bear singularly powerful, influential gifts. Alma the Younger looks to have been like that. He's described in Mosiah 27, beginning with verse 8. We'll look at verses 8 and 9. He became a wicked and an idolatrous man, and he was a man of many words, and did speak much flattery to the people. Wherefore he led many of the people to do after the manner of his iniquities, and he became a great hindrance to the prosperity of the church of God, stealing away the hearts of the people, causing much dissension among the people, giving a chance for the enemy of God to exercise power over them." You can see that he was given considerable gifts and had great influence and used his gifts initially for ill. You also see after his conversion how powerful he was, changing the history of a nation. To those who have been given gifts that might draw attention to you and draw people to you, you have a special and a strong influence. I've seen how powerful that influence can be. Your kindness will mean more. You have an additional ability to lift and bless. Because of that influence, I've seen such young men and women do marvelous things in their classes, wards, and spheres of influence. Note, too, you may have some vulnerability. Note the difference between Alma's 2 sons. Both Shiblon and Corianton appear to have been given gifts of strength and wisdom. Shiblon's humility and service helped him to channel those and bless lives, where Corianton might have gotten caught up in his, and it became a stumbling block. For those of you with powerful natural gifts, a caution. You may need to be extra other and service-oriented. To those who don't think you have such gifts, yes, you do. Didn't you learn anything from Star Wars or Lord of the Rings? Jedi masters who say the universe can come from in forms as strange as farm boys and funny-looking creatures. I'm kind of both of those. The tide of evil can be turned because of the courage of one insignificant little hobbit. A former president of Ricks College, John L. Clark, was fond of saying, "BYU Idaho was founded upon the firm belief there are extraordinary possibilities in ordinary people." President Hinckley said many times, and I gave you but one example, quote, "Believe in yourselves and in your capacity to do something worthwhile. God has given you a mind and a spirit and a body with which to do your work. You have tremendous capacity. You do not have to be a genius to do something worthwhile in the world. The major work of the world is done by ordinary people who have learned to work in an extraordinary way. This is what makes the difference. Stand tall and look sharp and bright with a smile on your face, and you will find that people will love and honor and respect you." Consider Elder Neil A. Maxwell's words on this subject. Quote, "In a world filled with much laboring and striving in parliaments, congresses, agencies, and corporate offices, God's extraordinary work is most often done by ordinary people in the seeming obscurity of a home and family." And Winston Churchill said, quote, To every man and woman, there comes that special moment when he is figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a special thing unique to him and fitted to his special talent. What a tragedy if that moment finds him unprepared or unqualified for the work which would be his finest hour. Closed quote. It may surprise you when your gifts come to be used. I love an Old Testament example, that of Bezalel and Aholiab. The children of Israel have been delivered from Egypt, but there's so much they need to become who they can be. God has chosen to bless them with the sanctuary and goes into great detail on just how it is to be built. Many of you have been through the Rexburg Temple. Think of the beautiful detail you saw, all with the purpose of pointing you to God. Bezalel in Exodus 35. I want to see if you know where that is. Somebody called it the sealed portion, and this is the great Old Testament. Exodus 35, verses 30 through 32. And it filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious work in gold and silver and in brass. It goes on to include Aholiab in verse 35. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work, of the engraver, and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. I wonder if that even took them by surprise. Who would have thought that former slaves, now driven into a difficult and forbidding desert, could be able to use their gifts of fine workmanship to glorify God? It reminds me of the early saints, impoverished Englishmen who were expert woodcutters and stonecutters, who joined the church, journey to a difficult and forbidding desert in the West, and are able to pour their hearts through their hands into the work of the Salt Lake Temple. There's a special spirit in the Salt Lake Temple, I believe, at least in part, because of the consecrated offerings of those saints. Another great example many of you witnessed in your own Rexburg Temple, and the careful construction workers, tile and stone and woodworkers, and BYU Idaho faculty members, Brother Parsons and Brother Griffins and others. As we've been thinking of President Hinckley these past few weeks, I've noted how he certainly viewed himself as ordinary, how a mission was fairly miraculously provided him by the saving of his mother and the encouragement of his father. How on that mission he developed some communication skills that then are used and honed as he is employed by the church. How carefully he was prepared to do the marvelous service he gave to the kingdom. Think of the preparation, the unique preparation of President Clark, raised up and gifts polished for this time in BYU Idaho history. I believe if you put yourself in God's hands, you will find that. It may surprise you how God will put to use your gifts for organization, art, music, caring about the youth, sports. I'm stretching my mind to think how he might even use your highly honed Xbox skills. I hope you forgive a personal example, one that took me by surprise. God gave me and brought together two gifts. Through my mission to Mexico, I gained a great love for my people, the people of Mexico. Through the sacrifices of my parents and my wife and a whole lot of hours logged in the library, I gained a good education in international business. I had visions of globe-trotting, of stepping off planes in exotic locations. I had this image, it always has a very expensive briefcase in my mind for some reason. God had different plans, and I never quite understood why I was guided to that area of study and how I might use what I learned there until some 14 years after graduation. And a Ricks College-sponsored program to bless the lives of returned missionaries in Mexico. I was just a tiny cog. There were much more significant contributions made through the gifts of President Eyring, President Bednar, Don Bird, Leo Castaño, Dale Mortensen, my friend Brother Max Checkitz, my friends Emilio, Rodolfo, and Josefat. But I was able to use my small offerings to sort of be the stitching that held together their more important gifts in a program that went on to bless and change some 400 lives and continues today. It took me by surprise and has been one of the great blessings of my life just to be a part. My experience, as I anticipate yours, brings to mind this statement from President Eyring. Quote, "Your life is carefully watched over, as was mine. The Lord knows both what he will need you to do and what you will need to know. He is kind and he is all-knowing, so you can with confidence expect that he has prepared opportunities for you to learn in preparation for the service you will give. You will not recognize those opportunities perfectly, as I did not, But when you put the spiritual things first in your life, you will be blessed to feel directed towards certain learning, and you will be motivated to work harder. You will recognize later that your power to serve was increased, and you will be grateful. Again, I would remind us of the warning to neglect not the gift that is in thee. That's from 1 Timothy 4, verse 14. The Lord warns in Doctrine and Covenants 88, verse 33. For what doth it profit a man if a gift is bestowed upon him, and he receive not the gift? Behold, he rejoices not in that which is given unto him, neither rejoices in him who is the giver of the gift. Remember that your gifts are given for a reason and are needed. It would be unappreciative and possibly sinful to not look for, understand, develop, and use those gifts we've been given. Author Marion Williamson said, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." Close quote. Now, because we have been given much, I invite you to reflect on a few of the things God has given us. How about this beautiful world? Whether that's a rainforest in Guatemala, a beach in Hawaii, or the gentle slant of the sun through the bare trees on Rexburg's white landscape. How about the gift of this place, of BYU Idaho? Just a brief reminder and an aside that the gift of BYU Idaho does not include the gift of a close parking place. How about the gift of your families? Have you considered the great gift that is this Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? In the spirit of denying not those gifts, some advice about how to not be unappreciative. This is a beautiful world. You're missing some of it. Enjoy a sunset. Go for a walk. This BYU Idaho is an amazing place. Such care goes into it. Could I ask of you what Elder Perry asked us when he was here? Don't walk on the grass. For you winter semester students, believe it or not, there is grass under there somewhere. Please remember, it's not your grass. Please remember, this is your time to be here in this amazing place for this brief season. I see you missing stuff. Take the iPods out of your ears. Someday birds will chirp on this campus again. Listen to the glorious between-class chatter of students who will only be here for this little season. Join in that chatter. Say hi. Make eye contact. Have a real, face-to-face, one-on-one, non-virtual conversation. And discover the glories of one-on-one conversation. It's cooler than texting, if I could remind you of that. As to your families, some of you have come to appreciate them more being away from home. Annoying little brothers seem much less annoying and lots cuter. You might even miss mom getting you up in the morning or dad making you come home at a decent hour. For many of us, those teenage years strained our family bonds. Now would be the time for the phone call or the note. I guess you could even text if that's something you want to do. To express love and appreciation for your family. I know there are some of you listening who have less than ideal families. For those to whom that does not apply, take a lesson from those who long to have what you have. Intrusive, noisy, messy, bossy, wonderful families. For those who have a less than ideal, remember that now a great family can begin with you. As for the church, I believe we can better and more fully appreciate this gift as we read the scriptures each day, read the Ensign cover to cover each month, bear our testimonies of the church, really deeply think about our sacrament experience, and worship in the temple as often as we can. Before I mention the most important gifts, a word on giving back. We too must give. We show our appreciation for his gifts by accepting them, and we probably should more directly, frequently, and even creatively think of ways to thank him for all we've been given. You know how it is when you've been given a gift. Your response is to want to give something back. There is that something in us that wants to give something back to God. But what do we give this glorious being? What gift can we give the master of ocean, earth, and skies, and the God of the universe? Elder Neil A. Maxwell said so typically well, quote, "The submission of one's will is placing on God's altar the only uniquely personal thing that one has to place there. The many other things we give are actually the things he has already given or loaned to us. However, when we finally submit ourselves by letting our individual wills be swallowed up in God's will, we will really be giving something to him. It is the only possession which is ours to give." Close quote. The gift he wants back would be first your will. Then you will become what it is you were intended to be. Then you would be fit to return to him. All he really wants back is you. If I could finish with a mention of perhaps our most important gifts, I'll mention only two. First, you can see how so much of what we've talked about comes through the Spirit. A search of gifts in the Scripture shows how often the gift of revelation is referred to. You can tell what God values by where he puts his emphasis, and thus we see that God prizes that gift. The gift of the Holy Ghost, of the ability to receive revelation, is the greatest day-to-day gift we've been given in this life. Among Nephi's final words to us in 2 Nephi 32:5 are the great statement that, "If you will enter in by the way and receive the Holy Ghost, it will show unto you all things that you should do." We should be reminded that both President Brigham Young and President Boyd K. Packer, speaking of the gift of revelation, have told us we live far beneath our privileges and therefore far beneath our potential. I think of the splitting of a family in 2 Nephi 5 and of who followed Nephi and became God's people, those who believed in the revelations. I think of Nephites being led away and saved by a righteous king in the book of Omni, and of those who would follow him to safety, those who believed in the revelation. We read of Jacob in Jacob 7 being assailed by an antichrist, as we know there will be in our day, and what kept him safe, that fact that he had become unshaken because of his many revelations. We read of Enos and what led to a powerful testimony of Christ and blessings secured for those he cared about through his becoming unshaken in revelation. I think of you and of what you'll face, of the amazing days ahead. As you're righteously scattered around the world, what will keep you unshaken, surely that will be revelation. And that will come as it has always come, quietly, line upon line, as you quietly study your scriptures, pray, serve, and just put one foot in front of the other in what seem to be ordinary but faithful ways. President Eyring shares in this month's Ensign, quote, "There are two great keys to inviting the Spirit to guide what words we speak as we feed others. They are the daily study of the Scriptures and the prayer of faith. The Holy Ghost will guide what we say if we study and ponder the Scriptures every day. The words of the Scriptures invite the Holy Spirit. Just as pondering the Scriptures invites the Holy Ghost, so does daily pleading in prayer. If we do not ask in prayer, he will rarely come, and without our petition, he is not likely to linger." Close quote. Now finally, in crescendo, we will close with speaking of the gift. This one is incomparable. It is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is that the Son so loved us that he laid down his life in a personal, unfathomable, truly amazing way. There's no gift to compare to the gift of Jesus Christ. That gift makes every good thing and every good gift really, genuinely possible. Paul said to the Corinthians, this is for your own note, from 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." The last sentence of the living Christ, the testimony of the apostles, quote, "God be thanked for the matchless gift of his divine Son." And the words of President Hinckley, quote, "God be thanked for the gift of his beloved Son, our Savior, the Redeemer of the world, the Lamb without blemish who was offered as a sacrifice for all mankind." Because of that gift, we can have the gift that Isaac referred to in his scripture, the gift of the greatest of all the gifts of God, eternal life, to have life of the quality and kind of his. God be thanked for the gift of his beloved Son. May that gift always be in our thoughts and engraved on our hearts. I'm grateful for the gift of knowing that he lives, that this is a personal Savior sent as a gift from a loving Father. I know that because I've felt the witness of prophets, seers, and revelators. I know that a little better because I've seen that work in your good lives. I know that independent of any other experience because the Holy Ghost has revealed that to me. And I testify of that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.